Father, we thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for your word. Thank you for making your goodwill towards us known. Praise God, your goodwill that everything in heaven and on earth should be gathered unto the Son. Everything should be found in Christ. This is the goodwill of God to the sons of men. Thank you because you have called us to participate in this great gathering, the only gathering that there is. To you be all the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, when Jesus Christ saw the disciples come back from their assignments, he once told them, rejoice and be glad, because your names are written what? In heaven. Your names are not written on the earth. Because that which is written on the earth will pass away with time. Everything will disappear. It will only turn to nothingness in due season. But that which is in heaven is forever. We have an inheritance that is forever. An inheritance that is true, real. Oh, hallelujah. Let us be grateful to God for all of this. Amen. Yesterday we were in the heart of Milan, and a sister walked up to me and she asked a question. How do we pray? How do we pray? And it's a very, very good question. You know, it looks very simple, it looks out of place. But I tell you, it's a very, very, very important question this lady asked. How do we pray? So we have to go back to the basics and, you know, and look at this thing. What does it mean, prayer? What do we pray for? How do we pray? And Jesus Christ gave a summary of prayers in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. We know the famous Lord's Prayer. We want to revise it, look at it once more, and, you know, extract understanding from these words of Jesus. Praise God. Now, Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth that what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. See, it says pray. When you pray, do not use vain repetition. This is how it starts, as the heathen do. For the thing that they shall be heard, you know, for their much speaking. How many of us have taught these things in the past? That the more we pray over a subject, the more we ask, the more God hears. You see, but this is the heathen mind. The heathen, you know, some translations call these heathen pagans. Pagans. the heathens, pagans, unbelievers. And you know, a pagan or a heathen man or a pagan or whatever is not somebody that, you know, worships some kind of strange gods in Brazil or in Africa, or somebody who is not a Christian. That is not the definition of a pagan. A pagan is simply one who does not know God. That is what a pagan is. And let me tell you the truth. Every man became a pagan in Adam. Once you walk in a false identity, once you walk ignorant of what the Lord is revealing today, the Christ, once you have tasted of life in the flesh, or tasted of separation in the flesh, you've tasted of what it means to be a pagan. You've walked as a pagan. Praise God. Now you don't have to kneel down to something to worship anything, to be a pagan or to be a heathen man. You don't have to. See, the way you walk already depicts the kind of person that you are. You see, the pagan or the heathen people are the ones who have a sense of alienation from the life of God. They sense God to be what? To be far away in the sky. Praise God. And they have to reach out to God. They have to pass through a gulf to reach out to God who is far away in the sky. Praise God. Remember the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, the poor Lazarus. At the end of it all, Lazarus was found in the bosom of God, and the rich man was found in hell. In the bosom of Abraham, which is the bosom of God. He was found in a place of peace in God. You know this, you know the parable? The rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus during his lifetime was poor. He didn't have anything. He had to eat of the crumbs, you know, from the table of the rich man. And the rich man he enjoyed life. See, and when they both died, you notice that Lazarus resurrected into the bosom of Abraham, and the other rich man sank into hell. And the rich man saw a gulf between himself and the poor man. He couldn't get over to the other side. When you see that gulf is a gulf that is in the mind, where you feel God infinitely far away from you. Isn't that what we all feel at times as men? You feel God to be something far away from you. See, so at times the hidden man or the hidden mind or the hidden person, the pagan man, always seeks to reach out to God through prayers and continuous prayers and repetitions and repetitions. Have you observed what you see around in churches? Or you in various religions, they pray the same prayer again and again and again and again and again. As if probably God is something that does not hear or does not see. You see, even before we pray, God knows already what we need. We don't need to say anything. See, you as parents upon this earth, if you bring forth children, you have a newly born child. Don't you know that you have to give this child milk, breastfeed this child? Don't you know that you have to clothe this child? Does the child have to come to you every morning and pray to you? Pray, you know, repetitively to you for you to know what to do for the child? No. See, so the heathen man will always try to seek out to a God that is infinitely far away from him with vain repetitions. And this is what we have done over the years. Hallelujah. And I tell you, God is here to deliver us out of the realm of paganism, out of the realm of ignorance, because in reality, the world does not know God. Full stop. And of course, when you hear the world, it's not, there's no use trying to point fingers. First of all, you start off with yourself as a human being. See it. As a man born of, as a person born of a man and a woman, as a one who has tasted of life separate out of God, you represent that world. Praise God. Because eternal life is to know God, the true God, and to know Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is what Jesus Christ says. Eternal life is to know God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now, to know Jesus Christ and to know God is the same thing. Because there is no way you can know God without knowing Jesus Christ. It's impossible. But God, to know God, you must know Jesus Christ. That's why it says that nobody knows the Father except the Son, and nobody knows the Son except the Father. Now, what does it mean to know Jesus Christ? Is he talking about knowing somebody in the sky? Look, there's nobody in the sky. The Jesus Christ that you are called to know is the Christ in you. Praise God. The Jesus Christ you are called to know is the Son of God in you, who is the brightness of the glory of God, the express image of the living God. Praise God. Now this is what eternal life is all about. First of all, rediscovering yourself. When you know yourself, you will know God also, isn't it? Because the Son and the Father are inseparable. Everything that the Father has is the Son, and everything that the Son has is the Father. So eternal life is to know God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Eternal life is that they may know Christ. That they may know the secret of life, who they are, and their oneness and inseparability with God. The poor man in the parable of the rich man, poor man, the poor man in the bosom of Abraham is the one who has ascended back into God. Praise God. Now this is the one that has buffeted his flesh. See it. And was patient and waited on the Lord. This is the one who didn't go about in the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, like the rich man. This was the one who sowed patiently to the Spirit, and in due season he reaped the eternal life in the bosom of God. Now that one does not need to pray again like the pagans. It does not. When you are in the bosom of Abraham, you don't need to shout and praying to God, you know, across a gulf or across a wide space of separation, because you are in God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So you can see which Jesus Christ is speaking here to his disciples. He's not speaking to, you know, the unbeliever here, speaking to the disciples. Be ye not like the heathen. The disciples are those who are being gathered back into Christ, who are being gathered back into the eternal Spirit of God. Hallelujah. This is a speech directed to the disciples, to you who are ascending. Don't be like the heathen. Praise God. You see, as men, in our humanity, we think that we need many things, but in reality, we don't need many things. Jesus Christ is teaching us here how to pray single-mindedly, and is giving us the basic element we need as sons of God. Nothing more. You don't need any other thing apart from what Jesus Christ is about to show us here in this simple prayer. Now he's using prayers from Matthew chapter 6, from verse 8 to 13. Five verses. See, I want to see what prayer is all about. We just read it, and we're going to go deeper now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, when you read this kind of thing, somebody will ask me, what of my child who is sick? What about my financial situation? Shouldn't I pray to God about it? What about, you know, many things happening in my life? Shouldn't I pray to God about these things? Of course, let us not take this thing out of context. See, Jesus Christ is telling us the priority. Amen. The thing that counts the most. Because in the first place, you cannot help your situation as a man. At times we try to pray and we think that we know what to pray for, but in reality we do not know what to pray for. We don't even know how to pray. As men, we do not know what to pray for. We just have to accept that. But the Father knows. Hallelujah. So all we need is to seek the Father. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now look at what it says here. It says that our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. See it. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Hallowed be thy name. What does it mean, hallowed? Hallowed be thy name. That word hallowed be thy name means to venerate. See it. It means, you know, be holy, to sanctify the name. Praise God. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As it is in heaven. In God's kingdom, in God's world. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Now what name is this name that is saying hallowed be thy name? The name of the Lord. The name of God. This is the name above all name. And do you know in reality this is the name by which we all are called? That by the name by which we all are identified? When it says thou shalt not use my name in vain, do you know that in reality the name of the Lord is the name by which we are called from the foundation of the world? But in transgression, men started to use the name of the Lord in vain. See, when you walk unworthy of that name, you use the name of the Lord what? In vain. Praise God. Now I'm going to go back again to the parable of Adam. Adam is another crystal clear example of the Son of God who transgresses. Adam, in that glory of God in Garden of Eden, represents the Son of God walking in the name of the Father. Praise God. You remember Jesus Christ made certain things about, in my name you shall do this, in my name you shall do that, isn't it? In my name, those that have believed in me, in my name they shall, that is those who walk in the name of the Father. He's not just talking, when Jesus Christ speaks here, he speaks about the name of the highest name, the name above all names, which is the name of the Father, and that is our true identity, our true nature. See it? We are all called by that name in truth. And the time has come to recognize that name and to walk by that name once more. Praise God. Thou shalt not use my name in vain. See it? Thou shalt not use my name and walk in the image of creeping things, in carnality. See it? Because I, the Lord, am spirit. Praise God. You shall be holy as I am holy. Hallelujah. We must learn to live holy to that name. In the book of Revelation, you see those who are redeemed from the earth. You see this in various chapters. that they had the name of the Father upon their forehead. Now these are people who have rediscovered themselves, the way they are known of God. They have rediscovered their true name. You see this in the last chapter. The Bible says that they have the name of God written upon them. You see this also in chapter 11 and 14, when he speaks about 144,000 upon Mount Zion, all having the name of the Father written upon them. God will not come again and write in, you see promises definitely in the Bible that speaks about, to him that overcomes I will give a new name. What is God speaking about? What is the new name that he's giving you? It is that name. Hallowed be thy name. We are being called to walk in that name. Praise God. The Gentiles, the pagans, the heathen nations are ignorant of the name of the Lord, but we are getting a revelation of that name, that eternal name that never fades, that never rusts, that never passes away, and we are called to walk in that name every day. Hallelujah. Put on that name. Paul says, put on Christ. Isn't it? Put on Christ. Put on that nature, that identity. See it. That will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I tell you, in heaven, there is only one that lives in heaven. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And we are all called to walk in relation to that one who lives in heaven. Praise God. You know, when John the Apostle was caught up into heaven, you see these things in the book of Revelation. Now, when you, in the book of Revelation, you see John revealing an order that is in heaven. John sees one man in heaven who he calls what? The Alpha and the Omega. The Almighty One. The one who is from eternity. Now, he sees that one who is in heaven. He sees that one sitting on the throne and ruling and reigning. And the will of God is that every man walk exactly the way, you know, the way John saw it in heaven. Meaning every man walk once more in truth, in the spirit. This is our calling. Paul says, henceforth that you no longer walk like the Gentiles. Sit in the lusts of this world, in the cares of this life. No more like the Gentiles who are alienated from the life of God, because the life of God is our life. The life of God, the name of the Lord is our name. So he's speaking about walking in the Spirit, in the pureness of the Spirit, in the perfection of the Spirit, walking once more in the revelation light of the Christ. We are called to no longer walk as terrestrial beings. That's why I say that will be done in heaven, on earth as it is what? In heaven. Even while on earth, having a physical presence, we are now being called to walk spiritually. Praise God. We are now being called to walk in the name of the Father. In that spiritual identity that is being revealed to us today, is very important. So that all men shall see the Christ, the invisible one, made manifest in the flesh. This is the will of God. All men see the true model. All men see the true creation of God. Jesus Christ says that I have glorified your name upon the earth. Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was. Now, how did Jesus Christ glorify God? He did this simply by walking in the truth. See, and as he walked in the truth, what people were beholding, they were beholding the invisible one made visible. They were beholding, you know, that thing which was from the beginning, made manifest in the flesh. John the Apostle writes in 1 John, he says that thing which was from the beginning, We have seen it. We have touched it. It is real. It is authentic. We have seen the glory of God. We have touched it. Hallelujah. The only way you can glorify God is to ascend, stand in truth. Praise God. See, Jesus Christ says also in that prayer, thy kingdom come. Hallelujah. Thy kingdom come. You can see the prayer. Thy kingdom come. Everything that pertains to God's world, God's kingdom, your prayer is to experience it, isn't it? It's to experience God's kingdom. Thy kingdom come. So we are seeing the precedence of prayer here, the priority, the thing that should be in our minds. Thy kingdom come. Now, where is the kingdom of God coming? Because the kingdom of God is always there, it's always present. Jesus Christ averted the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious minds, because the religious minds, you know, expect that something will happen. The religious minds expect that maybe the kingdom of God will appear somewhere in the future. And when the kingdom of God appears, everything becomes beautiful. But the kingdom of God is already present. It's an eternal kingdom that never fades away, that never passes away, that it can never be tampered with. But of course, men can lose awareness of God's kingdom by going into sleep. When you go into sleep, you lose awareness of God's world and God's kingdom. Praise God. So, Jesus Christ says, thy kingdom come in this prayer. See it. The kingdom of God does not come by observation. Praise God. Never expect to observe something physically from without. The kingdom come is simply an awakening into that which is already there. Your prayer is to realize this thing once more. And of course, it is the desire of the Father to give you the kingdom. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So your prayer should all be directed to attaining to God's kingdom, God's world. Praise God. Realizing life in God's world. Now, God's kingdom is God's kingdom, it's not man's kingdom. It's God's realm. And of course, there is only one God. When you enter into that dimension, what happens is that you become a partaker of the life of God, a partaker of the glory of God, a partaker of the boundless riches of God, a partaker of the infinite power of God. Everything that is God is also yours. Praise God. So if you have the kingdom of God, if you are, you know, participating in God's kingdom, you don't even need a dime in your bank account to function. You don't need a pension scheme. You don't need anything that this world has to offer if you are totally fitted into God's kingdom. This is where God wants to gather us into. As human beings, we think we need many things. We think we need this, we think we need that, we need this, we need that. We don't need anything. What we need is to rediscover the glory that we lost in Adam. See, we all sank in to becoming mere mortals, and we became very weak, weak in faith, lost everything, the boundless riches, and everything that pertains to God, we lost in Adam. See, but God is here to restore these unsearchable riches. That is why God's kingdom is being dangled before our eyes today, so that we can be, you know, participate right now in God's kingdom. Praise God. You see, we are so much carried away with many things. But this is the only thing we need. Jesus Christ says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Praise God. Jesus Christ spoke about, you know, the birds, about the flowers. He says, take no thought of your life as a man. What you eat, what you wear, what you drink, and all those things. Take no thought, because your Father knows you need these things. Now, Jesus Christ here is speaking to his disciples. And the disciples, in reality, are those who, you know, have already entered in, those who participate in the reality of God's kingdom. As you hear the voice of the Spirit, you begin an ascent into God's world, God's kingdom. And as you begin this ascent, you begin to drop your human ways. I begin to lean more on the power of God's kingdom. Praise God. Those who will enter into that new age in God live by the power of God. They live by the power of God. Now, it is the power of God that kept Jesus during the days of his ministry. We must understand he lived by the power of God. So he demonstrated this when he collected money from the mouth of the fishes, taxes from the mouth of the fishes. He demonstrated this when he multiplied the bread. He demonstrated it when he had a transport, a donkey, a free donkey ride into the town. He demonstrated it times and times again that he depended on the power of God. He depended solely on the power of God's kingdom. And this is where we should be ascending into. We should all ascend back into the place of all power and all glory. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all the other things, what you eat, what you wear, what you clothe with, and every other thing will be taken care of by the power of the Father working through you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, if the ravens could feed somebody like Elijah in the wilderness, how much more important are you who are sons of the kingdom? Praise God. Of course, we're not trying to say when you hear a message like this that immediately you just try to walk by faith. What you do, things according to the measure of faith that you have, and you grow from faith to faith. You go from what? Faith to faith. Praise God. That kingdom come is realizing the kingdom within you, realizing the Son of God that you are. Because nobody enters into God's kingdom except the Son. That's why it is called the kingdom of God's dear Son. So you see, God's kingdom, God's dear Son, is all one thing. I am the Father and one. You are the Son. So it is your kingdom. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. So Jesus Christ is teaching us here how to pray. He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, we've already said it, that in heaven there is only that which is agreeable with God. Heaven is God's realm. Heaven is God's throne. See, if you see the visions of heaven, like I said in the book of Revelation, all that John sees is the one that lives forever, which is actually a spiritual man. It's a man, it's the man of the spirit. The Alpha and the Omega that John sees, who says I'm the beginning and the end, the Almighty, is actually the Spirit. See, you notice that when he sends the messages to the seven churches, he now says, mind how you hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Actually, the Alpha and the Omega is the Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit. Praise God. And you know, it's a composite body. That is the one that occupies heaven. And what John was seeing in the book of Revelation is the realm of God, God's kingdom, the New Jerusalem. Mount Zion is the New Jerusalem. The heavenly vision, you know, of God's kingdom. Things which are come shortly, things which are come shortly in you, things which have been made manifest in you as you adhere to the voice of the Spirit in this hour, because the voice of the Spirit is simply edifying you and gathering you back into that realm of God's kingdom. So that will be done on earth as it is in heaven means that you walk in the light as He is in the light. Walk in the Spirit as is in the Spirit. Walk no longer in the ignorance of the, you know, of the nations of the earth, but walk once more in the Spirit, like, you know, like your Father is in heaven. Hallelujah. So that will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, it meaning that you walk in agreement with the Father in heaven, no longer like the Gentiles who don't know God. Hallelujah. Now we move on. It says that, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Now it says here, give us this day thy daily, our daily bread. Praise God. Our daily bread. Of course, when we hear this thing, the first thing that the natural mind will go to is the stomach. Because to the natural man, the belly of the natural man is the God of the natural man. His passions, his desires, his lust are his God. So the first thing when you hear this thing, the natural man thinks of bread, thinks of money, thinks of some kind of income to sustain me upon the earth. But reality, the daily bread is the spiritual counsel, the spiritual word that comes from the Father of light to bring increase in the sons of God. Increase in the inner man, which is the Christ in you. You see, 40 years in the wilderness, the children of Israel did not toil, they did not do anything, but every day they received manna from heaven for 40 years. That manna from heaven was designed to cause them to grow. And speaking here in allegories, into the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that they can now enter into God's kingdom. See, the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, the land where there is fruitfulness and everything that you can think of, all the good things, actually speaks about God's kingdom. Is the realm of God's unlimited spiritual blessings. The realm of perfect peace. The realm of the Spirit. Because Fruitfulness is something that is synonymous with the Spirit. Support speaks about the fruits of the Spirit. Gentleness, peace, joy, love, and all these things are only found in the Spirit. These are characteristics of the Spirit. Fruitfulness is only found in the Spirit. So you can see that that manna that children of Israel were eating for 40 years, it represents spiritual food, angel's bread, to cause an increase in their spiritual sense or spiritual awareness, their spiritual nature, increase in the understanding of the inner man, conscious realization of the inner man, with which they can enter in and walk in the new creation. Because flesh and blood cannot enter God's kingdom. So that which is man cannot enter God's kingdom. It's impossible. That which enter God's kingdom is spirit. So give us this day our daily bread, understanding, wisdom. Hallelujah. So that you increase in the spiritual man in you, in the Christ in you. See, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Praise God. Our sins, forgive us our sins, our trespasses. What is sin in the first place? See, we sin when we walk, when we do not walk in alignment with the Father. We sin when we walk outside the knowledge of Christ. We sin when we walk in the flesh. Are you listening? We sin when we walk in a mistaken identity. We sin when we don't walk in the name of the Lord. That is, we use the name of our Lord in vain. Praise God. So you see, sin is something that every man has been a partaker of one way or the other. See, and through sin, death came into this world. See, but our sins are forgiven in Christ Jesus. Our sins are forgiven as we hear the words of truth, as the Spirit of God lifts us up out of the manic clay, we begin to experience newness of life. We begin to experience once more that flawless life of Eden. Our sins are forgiven. Death, we begin to experience eternal life. Death is destroyed, abolished forever. Praise God, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Forgive us our sins. As we forgive those who trespass against us, we forgive our sins. For the Father has forgiven us our sins, we also transmit this thing to the brethren. Forgiving, loving one another. Forgiving and illuminating each other with the truth. You can't truly forgive except the knowledge of Christ dawns in you. You can't actually also be forgiven except the knowledge of Christ dawns in you. It's all about increasing the knowledge of the truth, that forgiveness comes and forgiveness is transmitted. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But thank God, through Jesus Christ, we are justified anew. See it. God so loved the world that He gave us the Son. He has imparted the knowledge of Christ in us, that we no longer perish, but we have the light of life. Praise God. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. And how many of us know that we have a Father who is a Father of love? The Father whose will is to give us the kingdom. That's why it says, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You read this in Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. The Father's pleasure is not to lead you into evil. That which will lead you into evil is your mind. It's your carnal mind. Praise God. The whole world today is under the sway of the evil one, of wickedness. And your prayer is how you can get out of the darkness of this world. How you can penetrate and, you know, enter into God's kingdom and realize it in its totality. Praise God. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, and forever and forever and ever and ever. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. And I tell you, everything that the Father has is ours also. Everything that the Father has is ours. Is it the kingdom? The Father's kingdom is our kingdom. See it. The Father's power is our power. And the Father's glory is our glory. We want to experience the power of God. With God or as God, all things are what? Are possible. But as men, with men or as men, all things are what? Things are not possible. These things are not possible with men. Many things that are impossible as men, they become possible with God or as God. So you can see all our prayer is about ascension back into God. The prayer is to rediscover ourselves in total oneness with God. That is what the prayer is about. That is what our prayer and focus should be. Thy kingdom come. Let me realize the life that I lost in Adam. The life that the princes of this age snatched away from me. Let me realize that life in its fullness. That is how we should pray. That is what our focus should be like. See, and it says that when you do these things, every other thing is added automatically. It works that way. Praise God. Now look at, go quickly to Luke chapter 12. I'll start from Luke chapter 12 verse 28, the later part of Luke chapter 12 verse 28. O ye of little faith. Hallelujah. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be ye doubtful, be of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So you can see that Jesus Christ is telling us that the focus is to seek the kingdom of God. That kingdom that you lost, because you came out of the kingdom of God. You are a product of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is yours from the beginning. Praise God. But the Father is here to, has come to restore it. This is something we all lost. And the Father is here to restore it. To restore the totality of the power of God. The totality of the glory of God. Everything that is God. So that we can walk as God in His fullness. Praise God. Let our prayers, let our focus be in that gift in the heavens. Let us not be carried away with the cares of this life. Let us not be more and more entangled with the corruption that is in this world. Rather, let us seek God with all our hearts, with all our soul. Let us seek God with everything that we have. Praise God. Let us grow in the knowledge of that which is already ours. See, the Father has freely given us everything that pertains to life, everything that is Himself, He has invested in us. But we lost the knowledge of this thing, and our prayer as we get the revelation is that Thy kingdom come, let me realize this thing in its fullness. Daniel saw a revelation, Daniel chapter 7, of you and I in the ascension. Now let us bear in mind that that which God has proposed from the foundation of the world will come to pass. But the painful thing is that some people might have to go through a lot of suffering to attain to this place of life. Some people might have to go through many pain. Some people might even lose the body, the physical body, before they attain to this full glory of God that the Spirit is announcing to us today. See, but it's a wonderful thing to have the privilege to be among the first fruit company. The first fruit company is the company that actually manifests God upon the earth. Even in the days of their flesh, these ones attain to the maturity that is in Christ Jesus. And these ones can become an express image upon the earth, revealing the true nature of God upon the earth. See it? Jesus Christ is an example of the first fruit company, or the first fruit unto God, who manifest the pure life of the Spirit in the flesh. They manifest God's kingdom in the flesh. This is what Paul calls the mystery of godliness. That is God made manifest in the flesh, seen by men and angels, and taken back up into glory. Hallelujah. So you see, God's will and desire is that we all attain to that same level of faith, that we realize the kingdom in its fullness. Not something when you die and you go to heaven, but it's something that is to be realized now. And when you realize the kingdom of God, you enter into your rest, because now everything works by the power of your command. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everything falls into place, and you know everything works out for your good. You know not just a matter of reading scripture. You know that everything worketh out for good for those that love God. Praise God. And or rather those that know themselves that the way they are known of God. Praise God. So Daniel sees a revelation of you and I in Revelation chapter in Daniel chapter 7 verse 13. And all these are graphic visions. Visions that even scholars, great, great men over the ages have not been able to interpret. But the Spirit of God is giving us their understanding today so that we can enter in. We are seeing things that even angels sought to look into, but they were not able to understand. But we are understanding them today by the grace that is in our Lord Jesus. So let us read this thing, Daniel chapter 7 verse 13. This is a prophecy concerning you. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came from the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Praise God. So you see, when you see these things, it's very, very easy to think that this is just a reference to only Jesus of Nazareth. But I want us to understand that that same path into glory is the same path that every child of God must follow. At the end of the ministry of Christ, see, Jesus Christ was taken up into a cloud. He was taken up into a cloud and he disappeared from sight. To this very day, nobody has actually seen Jesus in the flesh. That, you know, that was the end of his ministry. He was taken up into the glory cloud. Now, that thing that the disciples saw in the first chapter of Acts, where Jesus was taken up into the clouds, is an allegorical view. Because in reality, if you go up into the physical clouds, you will not see any Jesus. It doesn't exist. God was opening their eyes to see Christ ascend back into the invisible glory clouds. Ascend back into God's kingdom. And I tell you, that thing which Jesus Christ ascended into remains to this very day. It is God's kingdom, God's invisible kingdom, God's world. So we who are being called today are being called to ascend also back into that cloud the same way Jesus Christ, you know, ascended. That same path that Jesus blazed, that, you know, that path is the path that every child who is predestined unto glory must pass. It doesn't matter whether you have a flesh body or not, but like I say, it is better that you experience this thing before you drop your flesh body. It's better. Hallelujah. Don't you want to be a blessing to your brethren? Hallelujah. Praise God. So, Daniel saw one like the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. And he was presented to the Ancient of Days. They brought him near to the Ancient of Days. These are spiritual language. You can only understand what the Spirit is saying as, you know, the Spirit of God opens your mind to understand these things. Ordinary men cannot read and understand what Daniel saw. Because Daniel was seeing you and I. Daniel was also seeing himself in the ascension. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. That glory cloud of God. See, it's a spiritual body of multitude members. Doesn't it say that you shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, in the clouds? And so shall we be with the Lord forever? Praise God. We shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, in the clouds, and so shall it be, so shall we be with the Lord what, forever. It's not a physical cloud, it's a spiritual cloud. It's a spiritual body, an invisible body, a celestial body, a formless body that is there for eternity. Oh, hallelujah, praise God. And the Ancient of Days is none other than the eternal Spirit of God. It's the Father, God the Father. See, and it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that when the Son must have put everything under his foot, death is the last enemy to be destroyed. Death means separation from God. Death means an annihilation from the life of God. Death means life apart from God. That is what death is. See, our work as sons of God is to put underneath our feet everything that is contrary to the Christ, everything that is contrary to the knowledge of Christ, everything that is of this world, we must trample and put under our feet. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that when the Son must have put everything under the feet, he himself shall be presented to the Father, so that God becomes what? All in all. Is absorbed, swallowed up in the Godhead. We all came out of God. We are all one with God. We don't have any identity of our own as men. The only one that exists is God. And God wants us to remember this, you know, this origin, this place, and to return there right now. Because we are being presented to the Ancient of Days. So that it's no longer I, but Him. When you see the term Ancient of Days, it's speaking about one with an endless life. Ancient of Days is the one that lives forever. From age to age he lives. He's the one that sits upon the throne. And it's written that him, to him that overcomes will I grant to sit on my Father's throne, the way I overcame to sit on his throne. Jesus Christ also had to overcome the world. He had to overcome the sensation of a life apart from the Father. Jesus Christ had to, you know, overcome everything, the lie of his humanity, to rediscover himself back in God. Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before this world was. Before this world was means before I found myself living, you know, in an identity separate from yours. Because I know that I was with you in the beginning in one. Glorify me with the glory I had in you as you before this world was. Father, glorify me. And yes, I will glorify you because this is the will of the Father. It's the will of the Father to give you the kingdom. It's not here to withdraw anything for you. Everything freely, that you may be partakers of the life that is in God. It's a wonderful thing. Our Father is a loving Father, and he withholds nothing from his sons. Oh Father, hallelujah. Glorify me with the glory I had with you before this world was. The Son of Man ascending and coming in the clouds of heaven with great glory and with great power is you and I in the ascension. That is where your prayer should be. That is where your mind should be. Because that is where your consolation is forever and ever. Everything of this earth we deserve will vanish, will rust. But that thing that is above remains eternally. The Ancient of Days. In Him is the life, the eternal life, and we are call today to lay hold on eternal life. Praise God. To the Son of Man, Daniel saw that he was given dominion, glory, and he was given a kingdom that shall never pass away. A kingdom that shall never be destroyed. An eternal kingdom. It's God's invisible realm, God's eternal kingdom, which shall never pass away. Never. From age to age, it remains there. This is the kingdom we are called to partake of. Hallelujah. Let us patiently let go of everything. See, our prayer is that kingdom come. But our prayer is to rediscover ourselves in Him. Our prayer is to rediscover that glory, that power that we all lost in Adam. That is where your prayer should be. That is where your focus should be. See, we must leave all that is in this world. Praise God. Leave all that, those that have left all for my name's sake shall inherit a hundredfold, and in the worlds to come eternal life. The eternal life is in the Ancient of Days. Is the one that sits upon the circle of the earth. Leave all your knowledge, your self-knowledge, your self-wisdom, leave all and lay hold on that life of God's kingdom. All nations shall serve you. When you rule and you reign, you discover that the glories of the nation shall flow unto you like waters. All nations serve you. Oh, praise God. All nations serve the Lord, and you live in the name of the Lord. Oh, thank God. We are very grateful for this great gift of life. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is showing us the way today out of the many tribulations and the hurts we suffer as men. We can reign in life now. The kingdom of God is in you. Search it out with all your heart and with all your soul in prayers. Being focused. See it. Let this world dissolve and be no more. And let your mind be on the ages to come in Christ. God bless you. Amen.
temptation, but deliver.